This episode of Boat Briefing is sponsored by Amico & Co. Based in Genoa, at the heart of the Mediterranean, Amico & Co. is a family-owned refit yard with more than two centuries of maritime heritage behind it. Today, the yard is widely recognised for its work on large yachts, offering a full-service refit capability delivered largely through its own in-house teams, from paint and engineering to complex conversions and structural projects. Rooted in one of Europe's great historic port cities, Amico combines tradition, technical depth, and long-term thinking, making it a trusted partner for owners, captains, and shipyards alike.
Welcome to this big boat interview. I'm Caroline White, editor of Boat International, and at Milan Design Week recently, I had the opportunity to sit down with Benedetto Vigna, chief executive officer of Ferrari, to discuss the Ferrari Hypersail project. The boat, whose waspish livery was being unveiled that day, is a 30-meter flying monohull, an experimental platform designed to operate at the edge of what's currently possible in energy management, aerodynamics, and control systems. In other words, Ferrari has chosen one of the most unforgiving environments available, open ocean racing, as a testbed for ideas that may eventually influence everything else that it builds. That raises some obvious questions. Why sailing? Why now? And what does a car company actually bring to a space that's already defined by specialist naval architects with decades of hard-won expertise? In this interview, Vigna is clear that Hypersail is about more than performance for its own sake. This open innovation platform is a way to push Ferrari's engineering culture into areas where constraints are different. We get into what Ferrari thinks it can learn from a project like this and how it plans to translate those lessons back into road cars. To put it simply, Ferrari is at its strongest when it controls every variable. Hypersail does the very opposite of that. This is Benedetto Vigna on why Ferrari is going to see and what it stands to lose or gain by doing so.
So, thank you very much for your time. It's hugely exciting to be in Milan for the reveal of the livery of the Hypersail boat. For people who haven't seen the boat, could you tell us, how would you describe it in simple terms?
Today is an important day, you know, it's 21st of April. It's the same date when Rome was founded. A few centuries ago, I think that is a combination of a spaceship and a boat, an advanced boat. That's the way I would describe it.
Okay, wow. And when you first saw the concept, what was your immediate reaction when you first saw the design?
That is a boat of the future. It's a boat that I think will leave a sign in history.
And was there a moment when this changed from being an idea into something that Ferrari was truly committed to creating and making real? Was there a trigger? Was there something that moved it from a concept to reality?
In our company, we took commitment very seriously. I think that since the time we started, since the dawn of the design of this boat, we were really engaged and in love with it. And then, you know, when you see the boat along the development, you get acquainted to it.
Exactly. And, well, okay, so taking a step back, why step into offshore racing now? I mean, I know that Ferrari has had some involvement with boats in the past. Could you tell me a little bit about that previous involvement with boats and how this project is different from those?
Well, in the 50s, mm-hmm. we were involved in the boat, yes, because we provide the engine for a boat. Mm-hmm. That set a record here in a lake north of Italy. Today we're talking about something different, where the engine, it's the wind. So we have to master the engine, the natural engine. And then there's also a lot of optimization about the fluid dynamic, as well as the architecture of the overall boat. So we're talking about a boat that is completely different from the original one, but both of them share the same thing. We want to redefine audaciously the limit of what is possible. In the 50s, someone did just putting a strong 12-cylinder engine. Now, instead, we are doing it looking at other dimensions.
Interesting. Thank you. And what were the biggest challenges of that project, that concept, making it a reality? Because you had, I understand, Ferrari engineers. a design studio, a naval architect. How did those worlds come together in practice?
First of all, we completed phase one. We still have phase two. So, you know, we have to go through. I think that more than a challenge, I think it's when you have people with different background working together, I think it's a matter of more and more opportunities, because it's only when you see the reality from a different point of view that you can question yourselves. And more you question, more you can push forward, you know, the flag of innovation. That's the way it works.
Okay. And well, on that note, what do you think that this project, so what do you think this project will bring in terms of innovation to Ferrari?
But I don't have to dream too much. There is already something that this project brought to our sport cars, and it will be visible within 3-4 months in the sport car. Yes. It's not a car with a sail, a mast and a sail. This is for the cartoon. But there is really already something that our colleague working on Hypersail thought generated an idea that will be applied and visible on the car within this year.
Incredible. Are you able to tell me what it is?
No.
Of course not.
No way.
And in terms of the...
But you have to wait only a few weeks and you will see. So you are lucky. There are people that have to wait years.
Fantastic. So why a foiling monohull? What was the inspiration for that?
I think that is very simple, because you can reduce the drag when you put the two things together. Number one, you reduce the drag when you have a monohull. You reduce the drag. And number two, with the foil, you also reduce the friction, the drag overall, because you fly. So from a conceptual point of view, this is a boat with the lowest possible resistance on the sea. And then with the cant and kill, you can always preserve and you know, make sure that the boat is on a stable position.
Okay. And talking again about the design and some of the innovations on board and the technical side of things, the central control system, can you tell me a bit about that and how it functions?
Well, the central control system is a combination of three things, of sensor, motor, and electronics. And obviously there is a software that is putting these three things together, is putting them, gluing them all together. Here I think it's good for us, because we are reusing all expertise that we have on our sport cars, like the supercar that we unveiled a couple of years ago, that we are using to have all the electronic system, sensor actuators, working properly, asynchronously on Hypersail.
Okay, and they are detecting what's going on?
Usually it's like a human body. What do? You see me, and then you act with your mouth because you express something. It's the same story. The boat has some sensors, because we have to see if there are some obstacle, and then you act. Or you measure the flying height and so on. So it's a boat, active in the sense that it's interacting with environment. It measures through the sensor, and then it's acting. And then there is a software that is keeping everything together. It's like in a car. The car is the same story.
Interesting. And could you tell me a bit about the renewable energy constraints on a project like this, and also how you have incorporated energy recovery into the project?
But I think that, number one, we are using the wind to sail. So cleaner than that and cheaper than that does not exist. But then we have put together different energy harvesting scheme. We have energy harvesting of the sun energy, energy harvesting of the wind energy, energy harvesting of the flow in the water. So it's like a watch, if you think. You have an harvester. Here it's only mechanical movement. Over there you have the sun energy, the wind energy, and also if you want, the kinetic energy, because when your boat is moving.
Interesting. So, I mean, it sounds as if you've got this incredible synthesis of experience and innovation and technology. Has there been anything that's really surprised you or the team in this project?
I think that the overall project, if you think, it's very innovative. If you compare with other kind of boats, competition boat, this is much bigger. So there are a lot of things that we are discovering. How much they are surprised, I don't know, honestly. When I have a meeting with them and when I see them looking at the boat, jumping on the boat, they are very surprised because of the dimension, because of the system they had to think, how to have a boat that is so big, because the weight of this boat is more than six times the boat of an America's Cup. And now all the system has to cope with that. Also, because when you are oceanic races, you have big waves, okay? We don't know which kind of waves are going to find, but we have to be ready for that. So I think that surprises of the team are in the, maybe in the, yes, the dimension of the boat, the forces, the rounding moment that are exerted on this boat, and also the, if you want, the complexity of the servo control software algorithm that you need to have this boat flying properly. But this is the beauty of doing innovation, no?
And do you think, I understand that you have a scientific background, and do you think there's anything in your background which particularly attracts you to such, because it's an unusual project, this is not something ordinary. Do you think that there's something in that slightly different outsider mindset that attracts you to a project like this?
Yes, I have a scientific background. I study physics. In all my career, I've been lucky because I've been doing always innovating projects. I've been always on the leading edge of innovation in different fields. And one of the reasons why I like this project, because it is also another thing on the innovation, on the leading edge of innovation. Because so far, in monohull with foils, I mean, does not exist anymore. If you want, this is the perfect synthesis. It's optimizing the use of energy by reducing the friction, the drag, by reducing the dispersion of energy. And if you think, all what humankind is doing is nothing more than optimizing the efficiency of the system that we create. Think about that. There is an input and there is an output. It's all about making more higher, let me say, the ratio between output to input. It's always lower than one, okay? That's, we agree. Cannot be more than 100%. But this is, I think, fascinating about this project, because if you want, it's an open-air innovation lab. I don't know if, for me, sometimes it looks like the Museum of Hakone. I don't know if you have been in Hakone in Japan. It's open-air museum. This is an open-air innovation lab, because you, over there, you have all the dimension of innovation. It's control mechanics, it's electronics, it's fluidodynamics, aerodynamics, it's mechanical. So all the field, of classical physics is what you see with your eyes when the boat is moving. All the dimension of quantum physics, instead, it's what is happening in the chip. You don't see with your eyes, but you can, that's what is behind the most advanced control architecture, servo control architecture of the system in the boat.
Okay. Taking that idea and the innovation there and this sort of very high-minded concept to commercial reality, where does a project like this sit in your business? I understand that you have different tiers to the business: racing, sports car, lifestyle.
Racing.
You're racing, okay.
It's racing, it's competition.
Okay. And do you feel that it's part of a broader shift in how you see Ferrari evolving? Or is it
I think, today we want to show that we can be competitive, innovative, by pushing performance and sustainability in new kind of competition. This is a new kind of competition. We even call it a hyper sale from hypercar, because endurance is a key parameter, when you do oceanic regattas, oceanic races. So that's, we are defining it. We are playing in this field. And we want to be focused on this. Because when you open a new field, you have to put the right resources, the right execution focus, to make sure that you catch all the nuances of this new field. Because also, when you learn, you need time. It's not easy. I never believe people that say that they learn fast. They can, they can repeat fast. But when you need to learn the essence and how to bring those things to another world in an open innovation way, then you need time. With or without AI, you need time.
Okay. And in terms of this project having a Ferrari identity visually, was that an important part of the project? Because she's obviously beautiful. Is that something that you consciously carried into the project as a priority?
I mean, the beauty is key. You know, technology, okay, is useful. Let's put it this way. Technology is useful, but the people like beautiful things. Nobody cares if the transistor in a phone or the battery cell in our hypercell is a square cell. Who cares? People instead like to see a beautiful object. If you want, when you design object, product with a lot of technology content, you need to make sure that they are hyper-performing on the technology side and hyper-beautiful when the people see it.
Okay.
So this is, if you want, the challenge.
Yeah, how do you bring those two things together?
But this is, look, this is part of the work of the continuous daily work of the team. So what you have seen over there a few hours ago is the result of joint work, teamwork between the people that are doing design and people that are doing the technology and engineering. But that's what we do, if you want, the daily also in our car. It's nothing new.
No. And on that note, talking about people that are involved in this project, do you feel that people who come from outside luxury and sports cars bring something useful and different to the company? And do you actively seek them out?
Yeah. I think that I believe there are four ways to do innovation. One is to explore emerging trends. One is to leverage your hidden strength. One is to question the status quo. And one is to address unmet needs. These are the four ways to do innovation. When you work too much for too long time on your own field, your field of view is progressively reducing. So when you go outside, your field of view gets again open. You need, you know, the story of today, we, many people talk about diversity, inclusion. But if you think in all the history, it was not called in this way. But if you go to see the biggest advance humankind did is because on that project, there were people with a diverse or different point of view that were involved. Today, we like to give a lot of names to things that the people in the past were doing. But since the marketing at the time was not so much developed, it was not so much. But the story of diversity, different point of view, means that to discover the reality is good to see it from different point of view, from this perspective. Because if the reality is symmetric, you see the bottle and me, we both see the bottle in the same way. But if you see a stranger object like this, and then not only the reality is not symmetric, the reality is changing over time. So it's better to see from different point of view. We believe in it. I believe in it. We believe in the company. And that's one of the key points that we'll always keep alive to continue to push forward this will to progress that is fundamental for our company.
It's very interesting. And could you tell us, finally, to finish off, what this project tells us about where Ferrari is heading next?
No, it tells only one thing. We audaciously redefine the limit of possible. That's it. Simple. It's the purpose of our company in all what we do.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for this Big Boat interview, which was a production of Boat International Media and is sponsored by Amico & Co. As always, you'll find the latest superyacht news and features at boatinternational.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.